Hi, everyone. It's your best friends. We have thoughts. We're a podcast about movies. I'm Crystal.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Joy.
And we're talking about this year's Best Picture nominees. Today, we're talking about Coda. Along with Best Picture, it's nominated for Best Supporting Actor for Troy Kotsur and Best Adapted Screenplay, Sean Heater, I believe is how you say her name. I'm not quite sure. But yay, good job to her. We have thoughts. I said that already. What did we think of Coda?
I loved this movie.
It's so good.
It has every reason to be cheesy, bad, mediocre, but because it's so so well done and so earnest, it's beautiful and perfect.
It touches a lot of those same coming of age stories. It is kind of cheesy at times, but I feel like because it's telling it from a different angle, coming at it a different way, it feels fresh at the same time. Because to me, it kind of gets like Hallmark movie and okay. But because the people involved it's a new perspective. And I feel like that is really great.
I also feel like it works because it represents the community so well. It represents the fishing community that they have. The deaf community is beautifully represented and handled well. And the awkward teenage coming of age is all handled so well. So all of it was just handled so delicately and so wonderfully and so so beautiful.
Yeah. Even though at points you're okay, I know what's gonna happen next, I'm still okay with it because the way it does it is so tender and sweet that I'm okay. And also because the screenplay does a really good job of putting you in her shoes. So all the awkward and all the embarrassment and all the everything that she feels, you're feeling it too. That scene where I don't know what her boyfriend's name is, when he comes over and they're going to practice singing the song together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I would have absolutely been dead. And dead on the floor, dead.
But, okay. So talking about that scene. So they catch her parents having very loud sex. And so they're down in the living room. The parents are in their robes. And Troy Kotsur has the most epic man spread. But instead of it being this annoying, ugh, close your legs, I feel like it's very powerful and it's very purposeful. And he's showing this kid, I don't fucking care that you just walked in on me having sex with my beautiful wife. You interrupted me. I don't know. When I was rewatching it today, I was that is a power move, that wide man spread there. And I appreciated it. I think it's the only time I've ever appreciated a man spread, but I liked it.
Yeah, it's such a good, it is a quintessential definition of an ensemble, even though, what's her name, the lead? I can't remember her name.
Amelia Jones.
Yeah, even though she's really, really great in it, I think everybody in the cast is really pulling their weight. Everybody has a moment to shine, has a scene to shine. Everybody's charming and interesting, and you want to know them, and you want to be a part of their lives. I think really, and it's nominated for the ensemble at the SAGs, and I really want this movie to get it for sure.
One thing I noticed this time around more so than the first was I love that her love interest, that boy, he looked like a boy. He looked like a 17, 18 year old kid. He wasn't some 17 year old going on 30, 35, with abs for days and a super cut jaw.
He wasn't Riverdale, is what you mean.
He wasn't Riverdale. He wasn't Jacob Elordi or whatever his name was.
He was Nate from Euphoria.
Yeah, he looked like a kid, and I appreciated that because it made their awkwardness just feel very genuine. And I really loved that. Really loved it.
I think the casting in this was really good, and that's what makes it work, is that you've got everybody is a perfect fit for their roles. And I'm so, so shocked that Amelia Jones, this is she didn't actually know sign language before this and that she learned it for this role, because it everything just seems so natural and just to like flow out of her, and she blended in so seamlessly with the cast who played her family. And mm-hmm. it seemed like they it, like really was acting, because it felt like she had been with them forever.
Yeah, her British accent was no like you wasn't even. She did that weird like chin thing that they do. Yeah, so she was basically speaking two languages that are not her own.
That's yeah. It's
nuts. Yeah, because
as an actress,
ASL is also very different from British Sign Language. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, it's. That's very impressive. Also, I had no idea. It took me a minute watching this the first time. I was like, she looks super familiar. And I was like, oh, it's because I watched that Netflix show, Lock and Key, because I'm a sucker for a it's a family, like, sci-fi, I guess? Not sci-fi. Fantasy. This family lives in this house that has magical keys that do all these really cool things. It's Darby Stanchfield from Scandal. And some other, it's a cute show. It's a great family show. But it's not like super, super cutesy. I enjoy it. But yeah, she's in that. And I was like, oh, I thought she was pretty, you know, okay in that. But I thought she was really great here in Coda. And then don't get me started on my love for Marley Matlin. Ugh. I could go for days about my love for this woman. I think she's fantastic. I think she's wonderful. I saw her on the streets of New York once and I nearly died.
Really?
Yeah. We were walking to a show and I'm assuming she was walking to a show as well. And we passed her and I was like... I was like hitting my aunt, going, "Oh my god!" And she's like, "Who did you see? Who did you see?" And I was like, "It was Marley Matlin."
Aww,
love her, and Daniel Durant as well. I saw him on Broadway in the revival of Spring Awakening as Moritz. Yeah, he was fantastic in that. So good.
I bet he was great.
I really stand out.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the standout for me was Troy Kotsur. I think he was fantastic.
I really love the comparison of Eugenio Derbez coming from Mexico City to the States with an accent and his struggle to fit in compared to hers, how she said she talked funny when she first got to school and how she's so used to it. It's also similar to when, you know, kids come with their parents and they don't speak English and they're having to translate for their parents who don't speak English, and that comparison was like something I didn't even think about until he said it, like, oh yeah, that is very similar. They do have a lot of same features.
Yeah
and,
sorry,
go ahead, Joy.
it was really thoughtful, and I think that goes out to like the screenplay, that like it was able to connect with so many people in so many different ways. Cause I was like, yeah, I definitely feel that like having to translate for others sort of thing. And that like, granted, she's had to do it her whole entire life and like, she's still doing it. And that whole like coming of age thing, dealing with like, oh, it's your family. And like, you got to do it for your family, but also like you want to have your own life. It was really genius how they played it. And I love... Go.
No, you were done.
I personally love Eugenio Derbez. I've seen him on TV since I was a kid, since he was doing shows and like, comedy sketches. And I, like, Mexico's version of SNL. So to see him and how far he's come and, like, now he's doing this. And I just saw him in Acapulco, a show on Apple TV, which is also adorable. Like, I'm so happy how far he's come and how he's doing.
I really love this scene between her and her brother, because he tells her, like, you know, let me be the older brother, let me be the one for this family that can help. He's like, forget about them, let them figure out how to deal with us, don't make it easy for them all the way through. And like, she, I think that's a really great, like, light bulb goes in her head, like, I'm so focused on having to like make it easy for them, but it's I have to take care of myself too. And even though like he's giving her like great advice, he's not being the nicest about it. It's a very sibling-esque conversation. But I really like that he's just like, what about me? Like, I'm the oldest brother. This is my job. Let me figure it out. You go do you and I'll do me. Like, just go. Like, I love that entire scene. That was so good.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I enjoyed that scene too. I felt like he was, this whole movie, he's trying so hard to be a man and to stand on his own two feet, but his family has just gotten so complacent and having to lean on her. Mm-hmm. They've created this bubble. And she even said, like, what are you talking about? Your deaf friends? Like, you see them once a month. Like, that's a community that they have to go out and see. It's not their immediate community. And she's like, this is where you live. This is your life. This is where you need to integrate. And I just thought that was really well done. I forgot what I was. Oh, my favorite scene. This time around, it stood out so much more to me was when he's asking her how it feels to sing and she can't express it with words. She signs it.
Yeah.
Ugh. I was like, I love that. That's her first language.
Yeah.
That's the first time I cried for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like that's the only way she can express what this feeling is for her. I thought that was really beautiful.
Also, what high school sings Let's Get It On in choir?
It felt very
Glee. I don't think I ever sang a modern song in high school choir ever. Yeah. I think I sang songs in like other languages. But definitely not a modern R&B pop hit. No, never. Not once.
It was definitely very reminiscent of like Mr. Shu trying to get the kids to do like a like something for him to rap in.
And I then was he like, says Glee. Me? Like, let's see who just watched Glee, or who just watched main episodes of Glee.
Also, yeah, this.
I feel like if I was a teacher, I would be playing Matchmaker like consistently. Like, I need you to do on a project. YouTube pair up consistently. That's what I would.
I've seen TikToks of teachers that are like, "Ooh, I'm gonna put. I'm rearranging the seating chart, and I'm gonna put these two next to each other because there's something happening there. Right? I would encourage it.
Right? Because like, yes. What if you do and like. God. Magic happens consistently. I'd be like pulling the strings all the way through.
Oh my god.
I cannot hold on to a thought today. I also loved I loved how they used sound in this movie. Like noise was so present and I loved that. Like when she's walking through the woods for the first time, you hear a buzz of a fly or whatever flying mm-hmm. by. And all of the nature sounds are so, I feel like they're amplified more than like in any other movie where this scene would be happening. And then the noise of her family, like you don't think of, I would never think of that. Like, yeah, they don't realize the noise they're making. He doesn't realize the sound, like his phone is going off and how it's annoying her and how loud they're being like that. It's not something they think about, or at least this family doesn't think about. I'm not going to generalize for the whole deaf community, but I really appreciated the use of sound in this movie.
I watched a behind the scenes of last year of Sound of Metal, and Riz Ahmed was talking about how that was the thing that surprised him the most about being with the deaf community is they're so loud. It's like, they're the loudest people I've met in my life because they're not used to... To get someone's attention, they can't do like, hey, they have to hit something. It has to be loud for them to get their attention or throw something. Or they're very physical and they're very, they speak or they communicate, I should say. They communicate with every ounce of their body. It's mm-hmm. their hands, yes, to spell the letters, but it's their eyes, it's their gestures. It's they're actors, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so I can't remember what video it was, but Riz Ahmed was talking about how like, he was so enthralled with this community and how they were like so vibrant and just like he was astonished by it. So whenever they were really loud, I was like, oh, I remember this from last year. I'm watching this. I loved it.
I love that. I love Marley Matlin so trying so hard as the mother to like be a part of her daughter's world and not, like, she's so scared to let her daughter out of her bubble and out of the world she understands. Because as a mother, you're like, how can I teach you about what I don't know? And so yeah. Watching her, like, take your headphones out, or what would you be a painter if I was blind? Like, those moments of, why are you trying to leave me? Why I can't be there with you? I felt that through the whole film, and it was so, so hard to watch. So beautiful to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that storyline.
I think it's interesting you see it that way, because it was very triggering to me, their relationship. How she's making everything about what Ruby is doing about her. Like, why, what about me? Why, what about us? But it's always about, like, she's never, and I know that's not, like, I'm not a mom, so I can't really say, but, like, I'm coming at it from the daughter perspective, but I see it as, like, the mother always thinking about her and her family first, not thinking, like, well, what does Ruby want? Because they never ask her, Ruby, what do you want to do?
It's just assumed.
How do you feel about this? They just assume she'll do it, and, like, that whole thing about, like, oh, well, if I was blind, you would want to paint. Would that, how about that? It was not about that. It's not about you. You know what
the
I mean?
The first time I watched it, that definitely was how I felt and how it stuck. It struck me and reminded me of certain relationships in my life, certain moments. I was like, yeah, that's familiar. I understand that. I feel that way too deeply. But watching it this time around, I don't know if it's just the headspace I'm in today or what it was, but I was like, she's trying so hard to hold on to everything she has, because, and then she explains, like, I didn't have a good relationship with my mother because we're from different worlds. And so when you were of a different world, I was so scared of not having that, that she's like hooked her talons in and she's like afraid to let go.
I don't know, again, not a mom here. But I don't know if it's just like a natural maternal instinct that, like, as soon as your child starts to become more independent and, like, try to be on their own, it's just like you grab with everything you can to, like, keep them with you. I don't know if it's just like they've been so close and so together for so long that any sort of change is just like freaks them out.
Any kid growing up is hard, you know, like you don't want them to grow up. But think about, like, you know, our nieces and our nephews and our cousins, like, they're so little bitty babies, and they're like, no, I don't want you to grow up, because you're gonna be a little kid. I don't want that. It's the same type of ideal, you know?
Like, yeah.
We want it,
but we don't want it, because that means that they're no longer kids, you know? Like, if I think about it, it kind of trips me out to think that, like, my niece is gonna be, like, a teenager, and then, like, an adult, and be, like, a fully functioning member of society. Every time I think about that, it blows my brain. Like, it could happen, because, like, that's just how it happens, you know?
Yeah, my little cousin, she's not little anymore, but, yeah, every stage of her life, I was like, no, you're not allowed to be a teenager. Wait, you're driving? That's not okay. I don't agree with this.
Wait, she's graduating from high.
She graduated. She's in college.
Oh, my God, she is in college. Oh, wow. See? It's the same thing. It's just the parental feeling of, like, a little baby you hold in your hand. And you think, this baby I have in my hand here is going to be, like, an adult. That's wild. That's so wild.
One of my favorite memories, and we bring it up all the damn time, is a few summers ago, we were all sitting on the couch. It was me, my older cousin, and it's her daughter that I'm talking about. We're all very close. And her daughter was like, you know, in a year I'll be 16 and I can drive. And then a year after that, I'll be graduating high school. And her mother, without second thought, just, like, decked her in the side, like, on her hip. Like, just, no. Like, just said no and punched her in the hip. And she's like, ow, mom. It was very playful. But at the same time, we're just like, Michelle, like, that was quite
aggressive. It's a very visceral reaction. Like,
no, that's not happening.
See, I'm not meant to have children because I will lose my shit. They get one day older, I'm dead. I can't do it. I would be this mom. I would be terrible. I'd be like, no, never
one
leave
day
me.
Older. Another day, oh God.
There's a lot of reasons why I think that has never panned out for me. I'm just happy for those children that don't exist. They'd be miserable with me.
No, they wouldn't. They'd be smothered, okay? That's what they would be.
Again, miserable. Okay. Speaking of siblings and children and cousins and whatever, Tinder as a family. Have you guys ever done that with your siblings?
No.
Not with your parents, because I know I cannot Tinder with my parents. Dead. But I have Tindered with my brothers. Like, we've, like, been on somebody's Tinder and, like, swiped for them. Have you guys ever done that?
No.
My sister has been in a relationship for a decade. Oh. They're married. My little brother, we don't have that relationship. And he's been away for 5 years. And he just moved back home. No.
Oh, my God. Crystal, remember that time I Tindered for you, though? No. I have done it for Crystal.
She's like, no.
She never responded to any of them, but, you know, I did it.
I'm on Hinge, but I don't do anything with it.
Yeah, those apps are just there. They're not.
I'm on Uber Eats and DoorDash.
Those two. What's the other one? Those I'm very active on.
Yeah. The apps that matter.
I had a Postmate day just now. Chipotle. So.
DoorDash and I are very, very committed
exactly.
to
each other.
Very exclusive long-term relationship.
Like, I paid for this the membership.
Oh, to wow. Get free to you
nice.
Yeah, I was like, this literally pays for itself. Anyway.
I was going to be like, ew, her getting up at 3 a.m., but I literally do the exact thing, so. Never mind. Because her alarm went off, I was like, oh, 3 a.m. Oh.
But she's a teenager. Like, she has to get up to go to work and then go to school.
I could have done it. I didn't do it, not at 3 a.m., but I did. I was going to school working two jobs. Like, yeah, you can do it. I'm old now. I can't do it. I will break apart. So, no. Also, okay, the news station not hiring an interpreter is really stupid to me.
Right? Like,
what?
Slacking.
Yeah, there were a few times where I was like, the lack of accessibility is a little jarring. Like, even at the, like, her choir director knew that she had deaf parents. I feel like they could have made, like, he could have let her sign during the songs. Yeah. Which would have taken away from that beautiful final scene.
It probably didn't even occur to them, though. Like, because they don't think of it as, like, oh, like, it doesn't affect them personally, really. So yeah. They're not going to think about it.
Which is the problem with, which is the problem with, like, just, like, what do you call it? Like, casual ableism is that, like, you don't even realize you're being fucking disrespectful to people of different abilities.
Right.
When you're just, like, to you, it's, you know, the standard. Or whatever, but to other people, like, it's, like, completely different.
Like, if those were my parents, I would have, like, even if I did it on my own, would have made, like, here's all the songs we're singing and the lyrics, so you can, like, at least know what we're singing about. You might not be able to hear us or understand why we're dancing like fools, but here's
also
what we're saying.
Like, you probably just want, like, to fit in and not, like, cause any trouble and, like,
I know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think about me as a teenager. If even in a weird circumstance like that, or not weird, I shouldn't say weird, but like a different circumstance like that, I still would be like, that's fine. It's fine. Just don't cause any, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's a really great way to show how, like, their accessibility, like you said, is not taken into consideration literally anywhere. And to them, they're like, well, same as usual. Like, this is how it is. And that's not cool. Like, if you're doing a news story on a family who is deaf, have an interpreter there. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, it also makes me wonder if they were like, do you need an interpreter? And they're like, no, we have one.
Oh, maybe.
That also goes back to, like, children doing all the emotional, mental, and physical labor for their parents, like, without even being asked. So, yeah, they probably were like, oh, yeah, we're good. Without asking, like, oh, hey, do you have, like, school things going on?
Because they are not thinking about her. They're thinking about the family.
Yeah, the unit, not the individuals. They're not individuals. She's not an individual to them.
No. Oh, but when her dad...
That I noticed it the second time around, that the fishermen that in the little fisher community were there watching her perform. It was so cute.
Oh, they were?
Yeah, I didn't notice it the first time. But they were at the end, they were clapping. A bunch of them stood up. And I was like, oh, they let you go see her.
That's so cute.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Damn it. Like, literally a thought will not stick in my brain today.
You know what else? I really hope this is eventually able to be rented elsewhere, because I know a lot of people don't have Apple anything, and I would love to watch it.
This weekend, it'll be free in theaters. Yeah.
Well, I mean, not everyone wants to go to theaters still, but I would love for it to be able to be rented somewhere other than Apple, because, like I said, it's a really, really great movie, and I'm recommending it to everyone who I meet.
We should promote it on the Twitter and be like, hey, it's free this weekend.
I did. I retweeted somebody. I forgot.
Well, that's good.
Do you want to look at the... Do you want to go through the nominees?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it should be... Let me start over. I agree that it should be here for Best Picture. I love this movie. And even before the nominations came out, I was like, this might be my favorite of the top of the contenders. And I think it might still be. So, yeah, Best Picture. Agreed.
Agreed.
Yeah. I would not mind if it won at all. I'd be you know happy about
me
that.
Me either. But I have... I'm going to wait to... continue that conversation. Do you have the list in front of you, Anna, by any chance?
The best pictures?
No,
I have the nominees. I have the nominees.
I have them here too.
Can you read the best supporting actor category, please?
Supporting actor is Kieran Hines for Belfast, Troy Kotsur for Coda, Jesse Plemons, The Power of the Dog, J.K. Simmons, Being the Ricardos, and Cody Smith McPhee for Power of the Dog.
Troy Kotsur, clear.
100% he should win.
Especially because I just saw Being the Ricardos. And J.K. Simmons being there is absolutely ridiculous.
Thank you.
Ridiculous.
It makes no sense. That nomination came out of nowhere. It's stupid. It doesn't belong
there. It's actually offensive to me personally. I don't like that. No, J.K. Simmons, I don't have a problem with him. There's not even a scene in that movie where it's like, okay, I guess I can see this part of it was like his clip to... No, nothing.
No.
Literally.
It's very... it's very basic. Lazy. It's a basic.
When I think of the net worth of J.K. Simmons, I get like the shakes. Like, it makes me so. Has to be filthy, filthy rich. He's the yellow M&M. He's the State Farm guy. He's an Oscar winner. He's a well beloved actor. Like, this guy is rolling the show.
You know what? Props to him for getting that bag in literally every aspect. That's beautiful.
How much money does this man have? Checking.
More than me, that's for damn sure.
Like, because even if it was just those two commercials, those are big national commercials that are, and he makes multiple of that are on all the time, that play before movies, like
somewhere between 14 million and 25 million, according to three websites.
Wow,
that's gotta be a fucking lie. It has to be in the 100 millions. Like, I cannot fathom.
There's a lot of State Farm commercials. Yeah.
He employs a lot of people, I'm sure. Nothing against J.K. Simmons, but I would take him out and put David Alvarez from West Side Story, because that was probably phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Also, if I was being as lazy as the people who did these nominations, I would just put in Eugenio Derbez, just because why not?
Yeah, because he's actually not the role in the movie.
Or even Daniel Duran.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Because literally, they did more in their movies than three of these, maybe four of these nominees. The supporting actor category this year is trash.
Also, I would sub in either Judi Dench or Kirsten Dunst for Marley Matlin.
Yeah. Why not? Let's do it.
Okay, so there's... I guess, like, you know how they, like, do, like, a percentage? Like, so-and-so has this percentage of winning the role or getting the nomination. So, for the best supporting actor, the number one was Cody Smith McPhee. He was a 99.6% chance to win. Or chance to win.
Be nominated?
Troy Kotsur is number two with 94.5%.
Thank God.
Number three is Kieran Hines with 72%. Okay. Number four is Ben Affleck for The Tender Bar at 71%.
Get out. Get out of here.
After that is Jared Leto with House of Gucci at 48%. Jesse Plemons was 3, 4, 5, 6, right? And then it was Bradley Cooper, Jamie Dornan, and then J.K. Simmons at the very end with 12.5% chance. But yet he's nominated.
You know what? It just goes to show that these people are fucking lazy. They're not even watching the movies. If they were just like, J.K. Simmons has won before, let's throw him in there. Jaime Udy Yench has won before, let's throw her in there. Like, lazy.
Yeah, not a fan. Troy Kotsur.
If my job was to watch movies, I'd watch all the movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Troy Kotsur for that scene where she's singing and she's holding her alone. Like, that scene alone.
Yes!
Listen, if you didn't feel anything from that scene, you are dead. You are literally dead.
Sobbing.
Because the way he looks at her.
Was less so, but.
The way he looks at her, just. And she's like, are you sure? And he's like, yes, yes, louder, louder. Just like, oh.
She's like encouraging her. Oh, God.
But and then I heard it again later when she's signing the song. And then Joni Mitchell, did you die, Anna?
Oh, my God. The first time she started singing, I was like, okay, this movie's great. but the music choices, I think, were beautiful because the duet she sings, you know, is talking about needing people and being there for them and how much they mean to you. And I was like, that's so what she's going through. But also, Both Sides Now is also so reminiscent of what she's dealing with. And she's coming out on the other side of being on her own and standing on her own two feet as a whole human being, not as part of a family. And I thought it was such a beautiful choice. I love that song. And I thought she did a great job. And when she started signing it, ugh, I lost my shit.
Tears. And I love how the thoughtfulness of choosing which songs to go in certain places. Mm-hmm. Like, I really love that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too obvious either, you know?
No, but it was really nice, especially because, like, when she was singing it, like, when she was in practice with Eugenio Derbez, I was kind of getting the song, but it wasn't until her final performance where she was singing it and signing it that I was like, oh, wait, I get it. Like, I got the narrative of the song a little bit better, and I was like, okay, yeah, that makes so much sense. It's beautiful. Julia Jones
is singing in her accent that's not hers, right? And it's signing, and it essentially isn't her language either. Like, and then amazing.
Ever since seeing Spring Awakening, the Deaf West production of Spring Awakening on Broadway, I think it's so beautiful when people sign when they sing. I think it adds such a layer to the performance, and it's like one of my favorite things. There's a clip of one of the guys who was in Spring Awakening. His name is Austin McKenzie. Singing a song. Oh, I haven't watched that video in years, and I'm going to watch it as soon as we finish this conversation. And he signs it. I'm just like, ugh. The song is already, like, kind of sexy, but, like, when he adds that, I'm like, yes. He's the guy that's dating Kevin McHale from Glee.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
That reminds me of, this is not the same thing, but this reminds me of never. What is it? Oh my God! What's the song with Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B? The one that can't—I forgot.
What?
Yeah. So there's a girl signing it, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, what is happening here? Very similar.
Because, sign language is such an expressive thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like visually expressive.
That was so funny.
They're like losing their mind.
I love that Anna goes to like sexy Broadway, and you go to like. Megan Thee Stallion.
It's honestly on brand for us, truly.
Yeah.
I mean.
Also, those crickets you heard after I finished talking, that's what the entire Tick, Tick, Boom podcast would be like. It'd be like me going on a rant and then be like, yeah, okay, cool.
We're gonna, that's spoiler for later, everybody. Okay, so speaking best adapted screenplay, can you read the nominations for those, please?
Adapted screenplay, we have that's original, Coda, Drive My Car, and I'm not even going to attempt those names without looking into pronunciations, Dune, also some weird names that I'll get to later, The Lost Daughter, and The Power of the Dog. I was gonna try all the names, but
I'm gonna hold off until I see Drive My Car. But
same.
I really like this movie, so yeah.
Same.
I did like The Lost Daughter too, so I don't know.
Me too.
Did you like also, Dune?
I feel Dune did a great job of bringing that text to life. I do want to try and read The Lost Daughter before.
But The Lost Daughter, like the nuances in that, are so like
so beautiful.
I don't. That's
damn it! I need to watch this movie. Really, maybe I'll watch it today. Excuse me.
But I have some trivia. Hold on.
Ooh, yay!
I I thought I had it up, but I don't. Just kidding.
While you look for it, can I say something else?
No.
Okay, great. Actress in the leading role, this category is wild. But I wouldn't have minded. Emilia Jones was one of my, like, extras that I would have really loved to get the actress in the leading role, best actress nomination, just because, like, we've already said it. She's doing amazing. She's doing so many things at the same time and doing it so well.
Who would you take out?
Nicole fucking Kidman. Fuck her. Like, no. Like, no. I just...
Who is it again? Who read the category?
Jessica Chastain, Olivia Colman, Penelope Cruz, and Kirsten Stewart.
Okay. We have a Kirsten and a Kristen this year.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm sorry, Joy. Were you had something?
Oh, Emilia Jones. Anyways, best actress. Yes, she's one of my replacements for others. Agreed. So.
Excuse me. Okay, so Coda is the fifth best picture nominee, where deafness plays a significant role in the main plot of the film. Can you name the other four?
Sound of Metal.
Sound of Metal.
Yes.
The other one Marlee Matlin did. The
This one on Oscar for?
Something of Children of God or?
Children of a Lesser God.
Children of a Lesser God.
Yes. Because Children of God is a Brazilian film.
Really?
I believe.
Oh.
Yeah, it was also Oscar nominated, maybe, in the foreign film category.
Oh, okay.
Like years ago.
So, yeah. Children of a Lesser God from 1986. And the other two. You might not know.
Clues?
You may know one.
Who's in it?
One of has like Brad Pitt and the ensemble piece. It's from 2006.
Is Babel?
Is it?
Yeah, Babel. That's it. And nice. The last one you won't know. It's from 1948 and it's called Johnny Belinda.
Love that movie.
Yeah. I figured you would.
My favorite. I can't believe I didn't think of that.
Yeah, shame on you.
Yeah, it's anyway, in the top 10.
I thought I had more, but I only have one, so just kidding.
Yay, I love trivia. We should do more trivia. This is fun.
Anyway, I enjoy this, Crystal.
Huh?
I said I enjoy this, Crystal. Keep it up. It's very fun. Mm-hmm. Now, the hardest part of every episode that we do, a lot of contention, a lot of fighting, a lot of
Let me pull a joy. Hold on. Give me a minute. I got to write mine down.
This is such a hard moment for all of us. It's time to rank the nominees. So who would like to go first? Oh, yeah.
As a unit.
So number two?
Yes. One, two, three.
Belfast.
Belfast. Yeah. That was great, guys.
Good job.
Not in tune at all.
Which obviously means that our number one is
Coda.
Coda. Yeah. This is great.
We should do this for the rest of them.
What I wonder.
Huh?
I wonder if they turn it off, click. Because that's the sound it makes when they click on their phone, click.
Literally, it's an onomatopoeia.
Exactly. Look at you, college words.
What does that word mean again?
Onomatopoeia is like bam, pow, like it. The word is the sound.
Oh yeah, I haven't. I don't know about that.
It's not. It's not one of Christopher Columbus's ships. It's a.
The jokes are on point today, guys.
Are they? So yeah, Coda. Coda was a great movie. It might be one of my faves, actually.
One of the favorites of the year. Let's everybody watch it.
But. Real quick, there was a funny, I liked a Letterboxd review of it. Hold on.
Ooh, we should all do this. We should get some Letterboxd reviews of the movies that we...
Shut up, Crystal.
Best picture.
The silence is my favorite. It's amazing.
Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Also, her dad jamming to the rap music in the car, that makes so much sense because it's about the beat. It's about the rhythm, the literal vibrations.
Yeah.
Oh,
Coda genius. Also stands for cried on the airplane.
Amazing. Amazing.
Aren't you glad you stuck around for that?
Incredible. Amazing.
Amazing. Wow.
Worth the wait.
Okay, guys, so that's Coda.
Yeah. We loved it.
Give it a watch. Tell us what you think. And we'll be back for Don't Look Up very soon.
I'm looking down.
Bye.
Bye.